Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
And a happy Friday to you. Stuart Davis in for Troy Shankly as we wrap up a week here on Coffee Break. Troy will be back in on Monday, and we've got a great show to finish out the week. We will speak with Joy Navoda of the Stars on Stage a little bit later on, but we're going to start the show with a wonderful event happening in York area. It's the York 38 Special, and to talk a little bit about that, we've got Debbie Cargyle. Make sure I get that right, like Argyle. She is a board member with the York Fire Service area, and welcome to the show, Debbie.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here. What a great event, and kind of a, you know, the timing is kind of coincidental with all of the fire going on here in the North Hills. Has that affected the planning, or how has that affected this event coming up?
It hasn't affected it at all, and if, as a matter of fact, we have never canceled this bike ride in 16 years, even during the Merriweather fire. The bike ride was not canceled.
Fantastic stuff. And so this is going to be an annual event, and it's going to, it's a 38-mile bike ride.
Correct.
And it's, but it's limited to only 300 people.
Correct.
So people need to go ahead and register, and we'll talk a little bit more about the registration coming up. But talk a little bit about where the event goes and what the overall event in general.
Well, it starts out in the town of York. Right there, and then you ride up Nelson Road, you go down Owl Gulch, then you go up through, continuing on Nelson Road, up to through Refrigerator Canyon area, up to Indian Flats, and then you go downhill from there, and you go down through Trout Creek, you end up at Vigilante Campground, and then you head right back into York.
See, and I'm more of the downhill kind of guy. It's the uphill
that's going to
give me a problem, but going downhill would definitely be the fun part for me. And this is for all types of bike riders. It's for all ages, too. Is there age range on
this? We have had all ages from 10 up to 80.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay, and so now do people have to have helmets? Is that a requirement? Do they?
Protective gear is recommended. Yes.
Okay, because it is mountain biking. You never know when some snafu may happen, even if you're a very talented one. Okay, so this is going to take place August the 24th, so about 3 weeks away that this is going to happen. So it's right around the corner. Talk a little bit about registration and the day of the event. What time does it get kicked off, and how can people get registered for this?
Well, this year you can register online. We've had that for a couple years. You register online. You can actually this year register online. Up until the moment you're at the York Bridge, which is where you lose cell phone coverage, you can register online, which is really recommended. It makes that morning much easier. The race starts at 7, and it's open. It's staggered starting, so you can start anytime from 7 till 9. And we also have the cyclocross race, which is doing this loop twice.
Oh, wow.
76 miles.
And there are people excited to do that.
Yes.
That want to go up the hill twice.
Yes.
So good for them. As far as this event, I see that there's going to be some munchies in the morning. They'll have juice and coffee. Kind of a community gathering before it gets started.
Yes.
And as far as the competitive bikers, because again, it's all levels, because of the staggered start times, people are timed on this?
Yes, this year we are adding competitive timing, which is a timing event out of Whitefish. Okay. So the timing will be, you will actually have, you have a chip that's put on your bike, and as you go through these photo cells, it registers your time. It's all done by computer. So at the end, when you've done your time, you can immediately find out what you've done.
Yeah, so if you're not at the very front, that's okay.
Nope.
It doesn't start until you actually cross that platform.
Correct. The timing starts when you go through, and it ends when you've gone through the finish line.
Now, this event is going, you guys in York are trying to build a new substation, correct?
Correct.
And that's where all the funds are going. Can you talk about that substation?
Yes, we're building a substation number 3 up near the El Dorado Heights subdivision, which a lot of you might have heard was evacuated this last week. And as that really showed the importance of a new fire station with this wildfires that we had going on, because it's centrally located for the firefighters.
And the volunteer firefighters are so key. And right now, I'd like to give a shout out to all the local volunteer firefighters and the chiefs, including York and Chief Naylor, and of course Tri Lakes. And I don't want to start naming names because I'll forget people.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
But all of the great men and women that gave their time and energies to help protect the area. Now, have you been up there since they lifted the evacuations and
yes,
seen the area?
Yes, I was actually one of the ones who chose to stay at my property when it was evacuated. So I don't know what it felt like to leave, because I stayed.
Now,
so,
did you actually see the fire up close? I mean, how close did it get to you?
The fire, the second fires, the Al Gulch and the Devil Towers fires, were less than 2 miles from my house. And I'm actually one of the first ones that saw the smokes after the lightning strikes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And they were, but because of the great volunteer efforts, they were able to get on those.
It was amazing. The tankers were flying right over my house. And they had the fire out because the air tankers were there and the helicopters were already in area because of the North Hills fire. The fire was out in less than 4 hours. Now, I don't mean completely out, because they still had mop up and stuff like that, but they had it under control in less than 4 hours. Amazing teamwork between everybody.
And that's why this event, this York 38 special, is so important, because building those substations in areas, it allows people to get to those areas that may be a little tougher to get to quickly, the response time. And that's key.
Absolutely. That is the key, is the response time.
Yeah, getting to these fires quickly, making sure they don't spread, getting them contained, mm-hmm. and by getting a substation out in that area will just help in case. And again, it would be nice to say we'll never have another wildfire.
But it's not likely it's going to happen.
It's not likely going to happen. So we need these structures. Now, if somebody says, hey, I want to donate, I'm not a bike rider, how could they make maybe a monetary donation to
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely. We have a button on the York38special.org page that you can just go on, and it actually says, want to donate? You can. You can go on to the the York Volunteer Fire Department Facebook page. There's buttons there to push for donations. And I believe the York Fest page, but I'm not positive about that one.
And again, this is Debbie Cargyle. She is a board member with the York Fire Service area, talking about the York 38 Special, which is a 38-mile ride around spectacular scenery. And again, a lot of that scenery is still spectacular. There will be maybe, will they encounter any burn areas?
Actually, as of today, no. When you're going down Al Gulch Road, you can look off to the right and look off to the left when you're about two-thirds of the way down Al Gulch Road, and you'll see some burn, but mostly what you'll see is the orange fire retardant that stopped the fire.
That's it. Well, so it gives a little color to the area.
Yes.
And again, this is August 24th. Spaces are limited, so if you want to take advantage, don't wait.
Correct.
Go ahead and go online. You can go to York38special.org. And you can check this out. All the great information is there. You can register. And did you say you also can donate at York38special.org?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Yes. So go ahead and check it out. It is going to be a wonderful event for a great cause, because, as you know, we need more substations just so we, in time we have these fires, we can go and get on them quickly. Well, Debbie, thank you so much. And Donna, her sister here in support, you did a great job too. Thank you, Donna.
Great support system.
Fantastic stuff. We do appreciate you coming in and joining us here on Coffee Break.
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Stick around, guys. As coming up, we're going to finish out the week with Joy Nevada, with the Stars on Stage. The 2019-2020 season is upon us, and we'll talk all about that here next on Coffee Break.
I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Now, back to our show.
We've got Joy Nevada here in studio. Welcome, Joy.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Well, we're excited for Abacadabra to come, and we're excited that we have this opportunity to be able to share all this info with our audience today.
And we've got a lot of great info. We're going to play some clips from other of artists that are coming. Well, let's first start with the first event that is coming up in October. That will be the Ultimate ABBA Tribute Show, Thursday, October 10th, over at the ballroom at the Helena Civic Center. Kind of give people an idea, not only about this event, but what Stars on Stage really is all about. about.
Okay, Stars on Stage is an opportunity for our community to be able to go out and have a date night. That's sort of how we set it up. But we also have it set up in a different kind of setting. We're all at table seating. It's not sitting in a theater seat. And we have a no-host bar from the Algeria Shrine Temple. And part of their proceeds go to the Children's Hospital. And we just have a really fun time because it's very relaxed. There's lots of conversation, lots of laughter, and people just have a fabulous musical experience. And that's the whole purpose of this, is forget the world, shut the doors on everything else, and concentrate on having fun.
And because it's at a table setting, it's more of a social experience.
Oh, absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, that's absolutely. It's really fun to see how people walk in that night that they're anxious to get to their table and see their table mates again. And they may only meet up at our shows, but they've developed this really neat relationship with each other because, like I say to some people, if you haven't been there before, you get to just develop all kinds of new friends.
and you're kicking the show off with, again, the Abracadabra Ultimate ABBA Tribute Show, the Swedish supergroup ABBA. How did you decide on this to open the season 9, 2019-2020?
Well, actually, they were here 9 years ago, and after they left, I said, I am going to have you back in Helena. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know when we're going to do it, but you have to come back because that show was absolutely over the top. Phenomenal. And the music that you just heard is actually Abracadabra. It's not the ABBA voices.
You couldn't tell the difference.
You can't, no, because they have duplicated every single note that the ABBA group has used. It was a process that Gary Raffinelli, the leader and creator of Abracadabra, did. They took all of the music of ABBA, and I don't understand the whole process, but he talked about putting it into the computer so that they could recreate everything note by note, and it took him almost 2 years to do that.
Oh wow!
And then they rehearsed everything, following what ABBA's sound, look, demeanor on stage, all of that, and rehearsed for 9 months before they did their first show.
Did they really?
Yes, and they're just fabulous, Stuart. They really are, because we've seen about 5 different ABBA tribute shows. Truthfully, some of them should have left the stage.
Yeah. Find another act to emulate.
Right. But these guys, I just can't say enough about how wonderful they are, because it's just such a fun, exciting, high energy show.
And I people out there, people think, oh, I know ABBA. You would be surprised once they start playing that catalog, how many songs you know by heart and sing along.
It's amazing.
Whether it's Dancing Queen, Mamma Mia, or whatever it may be, there's just so many great songs.
And you're right, we do forget that. And then you hear something, you go, oh my gosh, that was them too. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, they start the show a half hour early with a video, and it talks about the background of ABBA, and wow, the things that we probably didn't know at the time when they were popular. And it's a history lesson, but it's really interesting to see pictures and hear all of this information. So it's a full night of music, and you get to be educated too.
And again, that's just the first of many, and that's Thursday, October 10th. Next one up will be Sunday, November 10th, and that is the Dennis Stromat Trio.
All the keys in the mailbox, come on in.
And I apologize if I butchered that name.
Oh, that was right.
If you can, it is Stromat. And so as we see kind of a country western theme that is coming, so it's all types of different music genres.
Right.
The diversification is fantastic. Talk a little bit about this trio.
Well, this group comes out of Illinois, and this gentleman he sort of learned at the feet of the masters of fiddle players and with his father, apparently, and just has a great background where he took not only his enjoyment of playing the fiddle, but he was sort of adopted into a Creole type of music genre. And so he uses all of these different concepts in his program. So you don't only get just Western swing, you get some Creole, you get some honky-tonk, you get the old Western type of music with like Ray Price and, you know, voices like that, that of the old country. So it's a well-rounded program. And I told him, I said, when you come to Helena, do whatever you want. Let's just make that stage on fire. Let's just have a great time. I said, you can take all or any of the type of music that you do, because he plays such a variety. And I said, let's just have fun. So it's sort of expect the unexpected, I guess.
One question I have, because both of these two clips that we've heard have had my foot tapping, mm-hmm. and makes me want to get out of my seat and dance. Are people able to get up and dance at these events?
You can. We don't have a lot of room, mm-hmm. but we have the different sides in the ballroom, and we just say, you know, if you want to go over there and dance, go ahead. You know, as long as you're not dancing right in front of the people on the stage, you're fine. And we've had people do that. And it's fun to watch people just, they're so anxious to get up and move. And so every once in a while you'll see someone dancing, you know, in the back or on the side. And yeah, absolutely.
That is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Again, Dennis Ostromat Trio, Sunday, November 10th is the second show. And that'll do the 2019. But, of course, in 2020, we kick it back off in February, Valentine's Day.
Well, we always have to have a Valentine's show.
On Friday especially, it makes it even better. And that would be the Black Market Trust.
Seems to be like a bell that's ringing for me.
And again, the Black Market Trust, Friday, February 14th, part of the season 9 of Songs Stars on Stage. And it's an American traditional kind of pop vocal jazz. It's kind of got that old school kind of Rat Pack feel to it.
And a little bit of gypsy as well. Mm-hmm. So again, here we have a group that's extremely, an extremely polished group of musicians out of L.A. When we first saw them, they were sort of jaw-dropping in the fact that they all come out on stage in these well-tailored suits and good-looking young men, and such precision with their musicianship. And so, again, it was like, we just have to bring them to Helena. There are times that we see groups and we go, we just have to. Helena just has to hear this group. And this was one of them. So, again, on this one, I've worked at least 3 years in trying to coordinate efforts to bring them. And finally, we're bringing them. And it's going to be our Valentine's special on, like you said, on Valentine's Day. And we also have a dinner option that night.
I was going to ask you, is it something special because it is Valentine's
Day? So we'll have that, all that information out later. But yes, this group, like you said, it's the American standards. It's songs that you've heard, but they put a little different twist on it. They're a very, very classy group, but like I said, highly polished musicians and nice guys. And there's 5 of them. And like I said, they're from LA.
And again, all of these great artists and events are taking place at the ballroom at the Helena Civic
Center. At the ballroom. That is our home. We have been there now. This is our 3rd year going into, I think it's our 3rd year going at the ballroom, yes. And all of our concerts usually start at 7:30. However, the Dennis Ostromat that we just talked about, we're planning to have that one at 3 o'clock because it's a Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do a matinee that day, and then we're going to have a no-host barbecue afterwards because we thought, you know, we should have a barbecue after a fiddle concert.
Of course, being from North Carolina, that makes sense to me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then you understand.
I'm big on the pig, yeah.
All right.
And moving down the line just a bit to Tuesday, March the 10th, 2020, the next show will be The Wardens.
All right, well, as you know, we are The Wardens. We're going to take you on a little bit of a trip tonight to the west of here, to those beautiful Rocky Mountains. I think, can we all agree we love the Rocky Mountains? Well, we're going to take you into the backcountry, a little backstage pass here into our lives as National Park Wardens. And this very first song sums it all up and exactly who we are, Government Cowboys.
I can ride, I can rope, I can jiggle and pack, and I can tack a shoe on. As a matter of fact, I head for the hills and ride for the gov, getting paid for doing something I really love.
And again, this is showing the diversity of the different acts that you get. Kind of a storytelling group that comes along, a little more folksy out of Canada, but they sound fantastic as well. The Wardens, Tuesday, March 10th. What can you say about these guys?
Well, you definitely have done your homework.
Well, you've got a very informative website. By the way, I'm going to send everybody to that. It is starsonstage.net. It is a wonderful website to get all of this great information.
We like to have it there so that's easy to read, and you can see what's happening and listen to clips and watch some video and such. But the wardens, again, a little unusual because these gentlemen, two of them are retired now, but they served as park rangers for Banff National Park. And any of us that are familiar with Banff know what an incredibly beautiful place that is. But, you know, there are things that do happen in parks that are not always the glamour part on the front. And so their songs will depict a lot of the stories of things that happened. And the third ranger, in fact, he's the one that actually started this group 10 years ago. He is still employed and so as a park ranger. And so their working schedule as far as the music has to be during their off time when they're not fighting grizzly bears, as they say. And they've really had some exploits. And so the songs talk about that. But the other part that's really neat is that it's a media show with it. So as they're singing, behind them we have a big screen and it'll be pictures. I can't remember if it's video or pictures, but it shows the beauty and the majesty of the area in which they have been working, or it may show some things that, you know, sort of depict again what it is that they're talking about in that particular song. So it's a very different kind of show. It's like taking a little journey through Banff National Park with music and somebody serenading you, and all you have to do is sit at your table and watch and listen.
And it's really great because being in Montana, being in Helena, there's an appreciation and a kind of a connection with that. So
absolutely,
there'll be an understanding where it might be a little different if it was playing down south or somewhere. But
like in North Carolina?
Like North Carolina. I figured I'd find another way to bring that up, that I'm from the great Tar Heel State. But it just seems like people can really connect with this type of concert.
And that's one of the reasons we thought, you know, this is a very sort of down-home type of show. It's not all the glitz and the glamour and the sparkle and all the, you know, the jewels of Abacadabra. So that's, but again, we try to be very diverse in our choices. So there's something for everyone. But every time that you go, you are going to have a musical experience and you're going to have a new memory to take home with you.
And we wrap up this musical experience on Thursday, April the 16th, 2020, with String Fever. Just beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful.
And
from my North Carolina roots, I love bluegrass music, so I love string instruments. And they take kind of a classical take on this. What can you tell us about String Fever?
Well, String Fever, first of all, is from London.
Oh, wow.
And so it's not like, well, why don't you just come next week? You know, you have to work on it a little bit. There's three brothers and one cousin. It's an all-family group in that way. It didn't really plan that way. It was just that something, just the way things worked out in their family. And they started out by playing on the streets for money in Europe. They'd go to different places and find a street corner and hang out. And you know how that is. You know, people walk by and they listen for 5 minutes and throw in a couple dollars and they walk on. Well, that's sort of how they got their start. And then somebody saw them and said, but these people are extremely talented. And they do not use their strings like a sit-down classic quartet. There is nothing like that, because they're jumping around the stage, their bows are flying on somebody else's instrument. They'll sit down and they'll play one instrument and all four guys are playing it. And if you go on our site, I believe the clip shows them skiing across the snow. And
sorry about that.
And they really did that. I mean, they were really, I think they were in the Alps, they told me.
Wow.
And so they did a video clip, and it's like, and they're playing. It's just, they're just sort of way out there guys, but oh, what fun and what incredible talent.
No, their sound is impeccable, and it is instrumentalist, so there's no vocals in this, but you can really get lost in the notes with these guys.
Right, and they, you know, they're talking with you and verbalizing with the audience, and there's a lot of feedback and lots of fun.
So again, we have season 9 of the Stars on Stage coming to Helena through the Civic Center Ballroom, and it's going to all start on Thursday, October 10th. 5 great shows, as you say, 1 low price.
$149 gets you all 5 shows. You're guaranteed a place at a table because we've already had several people calling about Abacadabra single tickets, and those will go on sale in September, but that will depend on whether or not how much space we have after we have all of our regulars, you know, put in place.
So. Well, thank you so much for coming
in.
It has been a fantastic 15 minutes. And again, go to starsonstage.net. Check out all of their great information on their website. Joya Novota, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.